Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Your eyes have it. And you have Dr. Robert Abel Jr., the Wizard of Eyes.
Well, we're going to discuss one of those chronic vexing problems that can be acute, chronic, but is always around the corner from all of us. It's called Lyme disease. Lyme can be an acute disease or it can be chronic. And we finally have some clues on why it's chronic and what we can do to get rid of it for once and for all. It's formidable because it's carried by the deer tick. And sometimes the bite is not even known. We know a little bit about Lyme, but most doctors don't know enough about it until some breakthroughs have occurred very recently. So I thought I would review some of the literature and share a couple of the findings. But first, let's talk about what is Lyme disease. Lyme is a spirochete named Borrelia burgdorferi. Lyme also comes beside this Borrelia job. It comes with a couple other things. That there's two other things, Babesiosa and the Epstein virus, that can also come along with it and make it more complicated. Nonetheless, these spirochetes are a form of bacteria. And normally with bacteria, you can treat them with antibiotic. And if a little doesn't work, you raise the dose to get past the minimal inhibitory concentration. But sometimes this doesn't work if you don't get it early. So we see Lyme disease with flu-like symptoms, or a rash, or something called Bell's palsy, which is a facial drooping. So we as ophthalmologists get to see the Bell's palsy part, or hear the story that nobody has figured out what they have. But we also see it as ophthalmologists because they can have conjunctivitis. They can have inflammation inside the eye called iritis. They can have pain and headache around the eye from nerve involvement or muscle palsy. So we have to think first of Lyme disease when we see something that's enigmatic that doesn't fit one of our current schemes or protocol. But that bullseye that is considered characteristic of Lyme disease may or may not be present. And it's estimated that between 30 and 80% of people will ever have the rash. So some will not have recognized it, depending on the location, but usually it's irritating and painful enough to know. So if you're fortuitous enough to pick it up, you can be treated early. But one of the rare side effects of Lyme disease is carditis, inflammation of the heart. And only 40% of these people ever have a rash. So they don't have a clue. They present to a different specialist with a different problem. And again, if not diagnosed and treated early, it may become chronic. And so that's why some of the people who go from doctor to doctor looking for a cure, having had multiple treatments and not understanding why it doesn't go away or why the neurological damage remains, there may be some things that can be helpful. So it's kind of unbelievable that it took a long time for many physicians, even the infectious disease colleagues, to recognize that there was a chronic form. They did recognize it could spread to any part of the body. And with that, you can go right down the body parts and realize there are many different areas. One of the leading experts in chronic Lyme disease is a guy named Dr. Joe Boriscano. And Dr. Boriscano said the symptoms of long-term Lyme are fatigue, cognitive impairment, joint pain, poor sleep, mood issues, neurological presentations, muscle aches. And these symptoms, of course, overlap all of the time because of other diseases that mimic it, like fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue syndrome, rheumatoid arthritis, maybe even MS, or Parkinson's if there's a tremor, amyotonic lateral sclerosis, which is Lou Gehrig's disease, just general depression and thinking the patient's a hypochondriac, or Alzheimer's. So they may be treated for many other conditions and misdiagnosed before we ever get to this. The most common symptom is, of course, the rash. Maybe 70% can have it. Maybe it's not even noticed. 31% arthritis. So knee swelling is another finding. Bell's palsy in 9%. Some kind of pain and neurological for another 5%. Cardiac 1%. It's often diagnosed by the blood test. But Bell's palsy is another sign, along with joint swelling or the classic rash, is enough to say, enough evidence there, treat it. And the treatment is pretty standard with an antibiotic, minocycline or doxycycline, for a period of time. Well, one of our colleagues, Dr. Sharma, has come up with the concept, the drug intolerant persister cells. They persist. In other words, what happens is you give an antibiotic and these little spirochete bacteria say, I smell something bad coming. I'm just going to wrap myself up in a little ball with a little slime around me. Nobody's going to touch me. And that is what happens. They become resistant because they're not duplicating, and therefore they're not active. And when the drug goes away, they come out and play again. So Dr. Sharma figured, if they're going to play that way, let's do something a little different. Once they come back and play, let's hit them with another dose. And he found that 4 pulse doses of something called ceftriaxone, or a cephalosporin drug, given in different times, will kill these persister cells. They'll first knock out the active ones that are in the blood, but then they will knock out the ones that are in joints, in eyes, in nerves, and come out again and knock them out again. And that 4 such relapsing antibiotic doses will be effective to knock it out. So this is really interesting. In fact, he actually said what he does is he takes an antibiotic 1 or 2 days a week just because he lives in an endemic area. Interesting concept. So a way, if you've ever had it before, you may want to do that once a week. He also found as part of the study an antibiotic called mitomycin C, which had been used for chemotherapy for GI cancer. But it is also anti-effective, and it can eradicate the persister cells in cell cultures in a single dose. The trouble is we need to have it confirmed in clinical studies so we know that it's safe and, again, effective for humans. Then there is hyperbaric oxygen therapy, because the tick-borne pathogens prefer an anaerobic environment, meaning they don't like oxygen. So they go hide in places where there's not a lot of oxygen. That's why they go in the nerve and the brain, the heart, the joints, etc. So if you sort of give them an overload of vitamin, you can knock them off. So by increasing the oxygen in tissue, you decrease the bacterial activity. And then you combine that with an antibiotic, you have something that is useful. There are many places that have hyperbaric oxygen chambers, hospitals, and even some private facilities. So it's something to check in your area. And if you don't have Lyme disease, but you've had it before and you're worried about it, that once a week antibiotic is a very clever idea, because there is some level that remains in your blood. Well, we are here to share with you on The Wizard of Oz what is new and what is useful. Persistent Lyme is a way of ruining your life, and with alternate antibiotic courses, you may beat it. So please be careful, do your research, find a doctor that's up to date on this, and you too can benefit from all of this information. I'm Dr. Rob Abel, the Wizard of Oz on RadioMD.com. For more information on this segment or any of my segments, visit my show page at RadioMD.com. Stay healthy, stay well. Don't be afraid of taking a walk, because you can be healthy and be treated for anything that comes your way. That's why we have this show for integrative medicine and integrative ophthalmology. Stay tuned, stay well.